May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 156. 156. If dust and ashes might presume, great God, to talk to thee, if in thy presence can be room for crawling worms like me, I humbly would my wish present, for wishes I have none. All my desires are now content to be comprised in one. Hymn 156.
Tune 853.
If dust and ashes might
to Let us read together for our instruction from the Song of Solomon, reading chapters 2 and 4. The Song of Solomon, chapters 2 and 4. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green of figs, and the vines with her tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be then like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethar. Chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armoury, whereon they hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shina and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come there south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The Lord bless and instruct us from his own holy word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, do look down upon us, the company of poor sinners. For, O Lord, such is our poverty, that unless thou didst enrich us in and through the word, we would be without any good at all. For born in sin, conceived in sin, and shaped in iniquity, we have to say with one, what can I bring thee forth? My very best is dyed in sin, my all is nothing worth. But thou, O Lord, hast condescended to us in our low estate. And the Lord, may this not be the exception, an exception, but rather that thou mayest make thyself known and to come down into the midst of us in the grace and wisdom and love of thy Spirit, and that as the Spirit may so move from heart to heart, unite us in the wonder of thy grace. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us that entrance into thy word, that we may understand. Lord, often we feel to be blind, and often we feel to be dull, and often, Lord, we feel our ignorance. But thou, O Lord, art the wisdom the righteousness, the sanctification of thy people, that they may know what the justifying grace comes through the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, thine only Son. Oh, that those things, therefore, may enter into our soul, that we may be revived and strengthened in the things that face us day by day. And Lord, what does face thy children day by day? Not just the cares of this life, for they may pertain to all men, but nor the burdens and troubles that may arise. For man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But Lord, we have to confront the enemy, which would seek to cast us down. He who would tempt us and try us and try to overcome us with his lies, his pretensions, and to deceive us. Not only that, but to lead us away from the truth into those things which would only bring us to know the awfulness of sin and its effects. But Lord, if thou hast taught us by thy Spirit what that is, then may we, Lord, as from a serpent flee and seek not to touch it. Lord, may we be given the shield of faith, and that we may have the sword of the Spirit, and able therefore to strike the foe with the very word that he cannot speak against, but rather will cause him to retract and to leave us for a little season. And if thou, O Lord, dost make thyself sweetly known, then what comfort that will be. We do pray that thou wilt grant, Lord, thy help and blessing to hearers and to preacher alike. Lord, we are at best earthen vessels and often feel our emptiness. But Lord, if thou hast put that treasure within, oh then, what a treasure it is. But in the darkness of the vessel may not always be perceived. But Lord, we pray that there would shine forth. It is written concerning that shining, that it shines out of darkness and then shines into our heart. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy mercy therefore to us, for that is what we have great need of. Mercy. Mercy we plead. Mercy we seek. Oh, do Lord then let that mercy flow down in all the fullness of its streams, streams of mercy, as one has spoken. Oh, what wonder it is when we see the wonders of thy grace, that love, that condescension, that goodness to pass before us in the way. Lord, when the children of Israel had so sinned, and Moses was brought to plead, to plead that concerning the mystery that thou hast kept from him, as to who would go up with them. And he in his pleading was brought to know that sacred response, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then the reply, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Lord, thou knowest whether there's anyone here that has something before them, and they know not how to go forward. Therefore they seek that they might know thy presence. May it then be a timely word to them. Lord, we do pray that thou would grant thy mercies upon any not able to gather. And knowest, Lord, those that may be listening in, we will commend them to thee. We are thankful, Lord, that there is the means to be used, but we are very conscious not to be abused. But for parents, as they may stay with their children, who doubtless need their beds, then to be able to listen in is a benefit. And those in sickness and not able to gather, it is a benefit and a blessing. And when we are not able to gather, as that may be on rare occasions, then it is a blessing, and we would thank thee for it. We would also, Lord, desire that thy blessing may be upon those that walk much of their days in darkness, feelingly, that they may ask, what of the night? The day cometh. Therefore to look for the day when they shall rejoice in it. We would, Lord, desire thy mercies upon those in bereavement, to comfort them in their sorrow. And to those, Lord, that may be in the in great troubles, Lord, they may have come to the point where they feel they can go on no longer. Oh, do, Lord, in mercy appear and undertake for them and make it known to them that thou dost go before them to make the crooked path straight and the rough places plain. Now we would pray for our sinful land. Lord, how we have transgressed, how we have wandered from thee. Men desire thee not, but rather seek their own way. And such that have rejected thy very person and name, O Lord, we find that are those in the high places that have brought about much discontent and doubt amongst men, so that they have turned from thee. And the evils that are set before our children, and the errors and evils that they are taught in the schools, those things that contradict thy word, Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet appear. But those amongst thy people, those brought up under the sound of the gospel, oh, that they may be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, so be with them as they grow up into years. And Lord, do open up opportunities, even though it may seem that if they hold fast to the thing which is right, the doors are closed upon them. But thou art able to open doors to them. May they therefore not be afraid to stand fast in the thing which is right. Now we also pray that thou look upon the aged. Prepare them, Lord, for that which is before them and must inevitably be so. The day of their death must loom upon the horizon in such a way that they desire to be prepared particularly. O Lord, we know that with any one of us ought to have that desire. For Lord, we know not when our days may be ended. But oh, if thou in mercy doth prepare us, and also there is prepared that place for us in heaven above, what need we fear? But not to remove the concern and exercise and prayer that may accompany those things, so that we may be ever instant in season and out of season, proving that thou dost hear the prayer, the cry of the destitute, and not despise their cry. Now we would also pray that thou would be gracious unto Zion at large. Lord, we would weep, seeing the diminishing of many congregations, and those that we may be able to discern, to walk in thy ways and fear thy name. Oh, how small its Zion seems to have become. But we know that thine arm of salvation may yet gather in, that there may be those that will again be found, who as prodigals have gone away, but now to be brought returning, pleading for some place in the Father's house. Though they may be, though satisfied, if they are but as a hired servant. Oh then, Lord, do appear, we pray. May the walls of Jerusalem yet be built, the spiritual walls, and may it be that there is yet the evidence of thy work to appear unto thy servants. And now pardon us, we pray, of every sin, and what we may have uttered amiss, we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 232. 232. Be gone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232.
June 807.
Be gone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, Why should I complain of what of distress, temptation or pain? He told me no less.
The Lord may be pleased to help me. I will direct your attention to the Song of Solomon, a verse you will find in the second chapter and a verse that you will find in the fourth chapter. The verse in the second chapter is verse 17, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. And in the fourth chapter, verse 6, until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 17, chapter 4, verse 6. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. The 17th verse that we have read to you is a plea. Until the day break, the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved. In the sixth chapter we find that here there is by the church a desire I will get me to the mountains of myrrh and to the hills of frankincense. A purpose now formed in the desire and soul of the people of God. And that one therefore is born upon the other. If the Lord appears not, then there will not be that desire raised up in our hearts. But if we find that our prayer is answered, then how good the Lord is. He's good in answering prayer. He is good in granting us our petition. He is good in being more to us than we can even ask or think. He is good in that he will come to just where we are. And so we find throughout the scripture those cases where the beggars prove the faithfulness of a loving Saviour and Christ, and where those who were brought into such estates where it seemed nothing but death or darkness. But now, as we may consider in the first place this plea, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved. The soul that is brought under exercise, under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, will know that his teaching often commences with the knowledge of sin. And under that knowledge, we may find that the law does bring us into much concern, because we cannot keep the law. It is the day of night, or the part of the day, should we say, which is night. And we are brought into much darkness with regard to our state. And if we have known anything of the Lord's goodness, then how we need him to come and remove the darkness from us. And yet, there are the shadows which may even make us the more fearful and the more afraid. What causes shadows in the dark? Well, it is the moon that may shine forth of the stars. And those shadows may sometimes present themselves in such proportions as to make us fear all the greater. And our hopes may seem to be weak. Our hopes are almost dashed. Our fears rising more and more until the day break. And we yearn for the day to break and to cause that Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings, and that we may know the wonders of the light, that light that dispels all darkness, and then the shadows flee away. We need therefore the light which again the Spirit in his teaching will reveal. What a mercy to be under the Spirit's teaching. Let this therefore be a consolation, that if you are waiting for this day to break, then be certain that the Holy Spirit will not leave you, but will fulfill his work. For the work of God cannot fail. It will not fail in a believer, and one who realizes that their only hope, even in the midst of their darkness, is found in Christ. Christ who may come and cause those shadows to flee away. But it would seem here that though the spouse had experienced many blessings and known the love that comes from her beloved and the goodness that she has experienced when the banner was over her in the house, and that banner was love, and she was drawn by that love and basked in it, rejoicing in the preciousness of the love of the Saviour who had given his life, who sought her out, who found her in her needy place, in her needy state, and brought that consolation to her, and then a called, and what a call it was. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, and my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. So the spouse had spoken, and the beloved had spoken, and the spouse had known something of the power of that word, which brought her into the blessings that it spoke of. And those blessings were to be held fast. But alas, we find that however much we may desire the blessing to remain in its felt effect, yet often there is that withdrawing, a readiness of the beloved to turn. And it is at that point that he would have us to pursue, as it were, after him. Here we find the spouse proved this experience also, that when the beloved, as it were, went to go away, that then her heart desired him to remain. And so in this, as the time when the Lord may have graciously come to her, even in the night season itself, despite the fact that sin and fears and darkness and trouble rose up in our souls, yet now he makes himself manifest. Perhaps it is best illustrated by the account of those two disciples that walked the Emmaus road, And as they walked, they were sad, cast down. What had taken place? Well, the one that they trusted, that would bring salvation, was taken by wicked hands and slain, crucified, laid in the tomb. And it seemed as though that was the end of their hope. Little realizing it was the beginning of their hope and the certainty of hope, and that there they would find that hope would be strengthened, not weakened, in the fact that their beloved who they had seen laid in the grave, was risen. But they could not believe that. It seemed incredible, beyond all comprehension. Should this account mentioned to them earlier in the day be true? And certain women came and said that he was risen. And those of their number were found it even so as the women had said. The tomb that was empty, the clothes laid aside in the napkin there in its place. But him they saw not. The shadows still seemed to lay long over them. And until these things had been removed, then how could they have consolation? Well, what shall we say to a soul that feels that they want the Lord to manifest himself? And yet you cannot comprehend that he should come just at such a moment, at such a time. It seems as though it is impossible. And yet he has there approached. There he was walking with those disciples. And yet the day was getting, would soon be night altogether. The day was ebbing out. The day was far spent. And now they came to their place. And something caused them, as indeed it will be with the spouse, with the church, with a living soul. And abide with us. We've heard what you have said. And yet, though we cannot perhaps take it in, there's something. We feel that constraint upon us to put a constraint upon thee, this seeming stranger. Oh, then, here we find the prayer, the plea of the spouse to put, as it were, a constraint upon the beloved. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. When the desire is such, how we wish that he would come with that quickness, with that speed, to bring us relief. And doubtless those two sisters at Bethany would have desired their beloved to be like a roe or a young hart, such that would come leaping upon the mountains, coming over the hills, with their sure-footedness, with the certainty of healing their brother. But the Lord tarried the day and not yet broken. But the shadows were still to be known and realized until he came. And when he came to them, then how did he reveal himself? Martha, I think it was said, and I'm not so sure that Mary did not make similar words. If thou hast been here, our brother had not died. Dost thou believe he shall rise again? The last day, yes, they could certainly validate that. They were sure of the resurrection, but now the revelation was to be given. I am the resurrection and the life until the daybreak. Very early in the morning was the time that the Lord would break the bands of death and of the grave and arise and make himself known unto his own. Not just the 11 disciples, but particularly those women. Mary Magdalene weeping at the grave. Dear woman, she had much reason to remain there, but she would not find him in the grave. She needed to be turned, and as she might have pleaded here, turn my beloved. Could it be possible that he should be found, that he would come and discover her? He be released. She saw or heard one behind her and turned at his voice. Mary, Master. Oh, what a sweet meeting that must have been. Confined to but two. But here one would call his own by name and confer to her that she was his, thou art mine. But then she would say to him, Master, owning him. Now, dear friends, I want you to try and ponder this. When we get into those times where we feel we've lost all, then what do we think about Master? Do we think that he is being faithless? Perhaps already you are answering and saying, my Lord will never be faithless. Then why those fears? Why those fears? In the midst of all the storms and troubles that you may be passing through, why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus. Holds the helm and guides the ship. I know we're going from one particular instant to another, but in some ways I trust you are seeing they tie in together. And here Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord had cast seven devils, and she had received much through him. Now she was to realize that here was her risen Lord. Her risen Lord. Well, until the day break. But I must just return to Lazarus. The Lord came, some may express it as the hymn does, at evening late. But never too late. Never. He will always come in his appointed time and in his appointed way. And at such a moment when you are in your greatest need. Again, I want you to ponder the greatest need. Do you feel that you have a great need? You may not know, though, what must be realized to really experience a great need. Let me illustrate. One owed 100 pence or 50 pence. Those sins that we can wonder with that wonder of his mercy and love in forgiving such a great sinner with so great a debt. Well then, it is that we are brought to desire the coming or the turning of our beloved, that he may come as the roe or the young hart, the deer which is fleet of foot, and how quickly they may pass to come to where they may themselves feed. Well, the Christ, you see, he feeds amongst his people. He feeds where he has meat to eat that the world knows nothing of. And where there is that to be realized and known, so it is upon these mountains of Betha. Betha in the margin says this of division. It may seem perhaps strange to think that there would be division, and yet it is the division of the mountains that makes a way where there is no way. We read in the prophecy of Zechariah, of the Mount of Olivet, and doubtless the allusion is to the day of his coming. And it says, I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, even ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with thee. Now, when we speak of that division that was made, there is a division in which we find that we can flee unto the place where we shall find that there is relief and deliverance and escape from the enemies that may seek after our soul. When he therefore comes to make a division, it is that there should be those things which may be separated from the other things, those things which receive condemnation, which was under the ministration of death, that ministration of the law. And then there is that ministration of the gospel. Again, there were two mountains that Moses was told about when they entered into the promised land, that there would be their names just go from me. But these two mountains, one would be the curses would be pronounced upon it, and then the other one, there would be the blessings pronounced upon it. Gerizim, what was the one? The other... Well, you can search that out. It's gone from my mind. But the fact is that there we find that what condemnation may do on the one, yet through our Lord Jesus Christ, we may know the blessings that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that believe, to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, we leave those thoughts there and just make the point. We would now look more particularly at the sixth verse in the fourth chapter. Again, beginning until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me. This is the desire of the church, that she should get herself to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Perhaps again referring to the mountains of Bether, they are set forth by these two mountains that are mentioned here, the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. The church will be brought to see that there are those two mountains so desirable, that which is so much to be before the eye of faith, that we may find that faith looks alone to these two. What do they represent? Well, a myrrh is that which sets before us death, but particularly the sacred death of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You will remember how that when he was taken down from the cross, those two disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, came to embalm him with myrrh and with aloes. Again, these spices are mentioned in this song, not just once, but a number of times, and put together. In the 14th verse, we read this, that the garden enclosed is my sister and my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard, a pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard, spikenard with saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. This is the fruits which the church may enjoy, the particular fruits of the mountains of myrrh, the death of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Ah, what fruits came through his death? Well, first of all, it was life. Life came through his death. And the resurrection, the blessedness of it would never have been if he had not died. And that just brings me to another most important and vital thing, and that is this, that he would never have died if he had never been a man, a real man. A manhood that he assumed into the person what he was, the holy Son of God, that he now assuming our nature would lay down his life as only he could. He could lay it down because there was no sin to be found in him. If we try to lay down our lives, even for a good man, what would it be counted as? That a man taking his own life without authority. But he had power, he had authority to lay down his life because he knew no sin. That he knew no sin, that meant he could take that life again as it was appointed. And the third day shall rise again. So we see that here in this particular mount of myrrh, there is set before us the wonders of life and death. The death that brings forth the fruitfulness and blessedness of life. But that death, it brings forth unto all of those for whom he died, the grace which he himself possessed. He came in the glory of it, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his grace have each we received, and grace for grace. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Ah, rich with the grace, to receive the fullness of the mercy, to know the wonders of pardon, the washing away of our sins through the precious blood, to know that we stand justified in his merits. He who worked righteousness for his church, that he may adorn her with a righteousness which is imputed, and a righteousness which is imparted in every living soul. And the living soul, as quickened by the Spirit, will know the wonders of that blessing. Well, dear friends, to make therefore our haste to the mountain of myrrh, and to the hill of frankincense. Frankincense was also another a precious spice, and the frankincense was that which was used in the priesthood to be there burnt at the mercy seat. The priest did not enter into the holiest of all except he should take the censer with the frankincense in it and a live coal from the altar, and his priesthood therefore be seen as in all its fullness as one who gave himself to be that offering for sin. And now risen, he ascended up into his glory, there to appear for us. And what does this open up? But the glories of the throne of grace, the footstool of mercy, the door of mercy that is open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way, and to the hill of frankincense. The hill of frankincense. And yet it is he that now is to be seen in heaven itself as the one who can present to the Father his wounds, and present unto him the fact that he was the one that gave himself. The Father does not need to be informed, because he sent his Son to that But what is needful is that on our behalf, he may there stand before the Father and with those wonderful words say, Father, I will. That this one, that one, this one you see there dressed in filthy rags as he has been, she has been, and still they bear the evidences and marks because they are still there, living out that life, which is a life fraught with sin and with death. But soon to be as one with us, that they may be where we are, that which thou hast prepared, a mansion for them and a place. I go to prepare a place for you. There we see our high priest. Well, now, as we hasten to the mountain of frankincense, let faith see the one who presents us faultless unto the Father, the one who pleads our case, the one who has gifts to bestow upon us, that we might have, that he who had that somewhat to offer, now we receive the fruits. The fruits of that one offering, our high priest, requesting all that the church and each individual that makes up the number of the mystical body of Christ, that they may receive these blessings. Well, I trust I haven't taken anything tried to make something which is not set forth in the scripture. I would not be fanciful, but wish to bring forth some of those sweet things that might encourage us in this day, this night, this evening time, and wait until the day breaks. Well, the day may break when the dawn of heaven itself arises upon our sight, and we behold, yes, Isaiah, he beheld the land that was very far off. But then there will be a time when we shall enter into it. But we leave these thoughts with you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Mark Seymour will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the church members on Friday evening. Our closing hymn is number 909. 909. Why, drooping saint dismayed, does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? Hymn 909.
June 11. Why, drooping saint dismayed, does sorrow
Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.